Some Mark guy.
One guy in the band I kept missing his name. Right? And here we are, the Nostra Thomas Show. I don't know if this year I'm going to say I know it all and you don't. Maybe one of my New Year's resolutions, maybe not to be so pompous.
Not to think you know everything.
Yeah, I mean,
like 99%.
99.8.
Yeah, that's acceptable.
Here with my special guest, attorney Mike Bayless, the former Youngstown prosecutor and now a specialty attorney in the area.
No, I have no specialty.
He's won every case I brought to him.
Well, that's true. But,
the holidays, you know, I had a big thing. We're gonna sit down next week and get serious, but we have a lot of laughs. In fact, I think we taped our conversations, might be a national viral hit.
Yeah.
Just the phone call. Dad stories.
Oh, the
kids stories.
There was so much swearing in those dad stories, though. We couldn't do that on TV.
Me not knowing the 3/16
bit is.
And then all of a sudden the wrench came at me.
And my dad.
Who doesn't do that?
My dad would call tools by names they weren't and then expect me to find them.
Go get that one. I'm in the garage going, oh my God. Then I come out like, is this it?
One of my dads, he'd be like, he was Greek. My father's Greek. So he speaks a little bit of a broken accent. He'd be like, hey, man, go get me the chestnut hammer. And I'd be like, the chestnut hammer? What's a chestnut hammer? Like, and then it ended up that it was a chisel, but I don't know. Somehow it was chestnut hammer.
I would get the, I still remember my friends, Dad, if you're watching this, you know this, we kid you about this stuff all the time, so it's nothing new, but my dad would get ready on a Friday and go out to the Harding football games with his brother, you know, his crew, and we would get all of his stuff ready to go, because when he goes, things are going to lighten up a little bit. So we like get, oh my gosh, I think you look great in that shirt. You know,
Dad, you should leave early. Get there early.
You know, these guys, this game's going to be, it's a big game tonight. But we would all run around, mom and I are in shirt. And he'd go, yeah, I hate these pits. I think they look great. So we would do that. And then I remember being over my friend's house and his dad's sitting there reading a book on a Friday night. And I'm going, what's your dad doing home on a Friday night? Some kind of nerd,
he's
weirdo.
He's reading?
Something wrong with it? Reading on a Friday night? Gosh, you got to be kidding me. See, I thought all that was just like normal behavior.
It's funny because when you're a kid, like the circumstances that you grow up in, you think that's how everybody grew up.
Yeah, you don't.
Right? So I remember like my dad, he worked out of town. He was gone probably, honestly, 7-8 months a year. He'd come back once a month or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. But when he came back, he'd have a suitcase full of money and he would just open it up and change would fall out. And we'd fight for the change, right? So we always wanted our dad home because number one, we loved him. And number two, there was always money. But then by the time the middle of the winter came and he wasn't working, we'd be like, oh man, I hope the spring comes fast. Like, we just wanted him back out of town. Dad, you should go. You know,
the weather report. Did you hear the thing?
It's going to be sunny tomorrow.
Thaw coming quickly. Indian summer.
Oh, he was
rough. Well, what I thought was always fun. But you know what? I had a different view as a kid. I was thankful about everything. So, I mean, I was so easy. My mom would give me a thing of cough drops and thank you. I mean, everything was a big deal. So when we would sit down and my dad would go through and we had to watch the slides, we'd all sit down, everybody's watching the slides of my dad on vacation and none of us in any of the pictures.
He went with his friends.
Here's our cabana. Here's us with drinks of the... We haven't been into Newton Falls, but we're gonna sit here for hours and watch these vacations.
I was 19 the first time I got on a plane, and I was working on the bridges in New Jersey, painting bridges in New Jersey. And I only had to fly home because I had to go to court because I got arrested. So the first time I was ever on a plane was to fly home to go to court. So we didn't have vacations. There was no vacations, but not because my father was always working. He was always working.
A millwright, work turns. He got married really young, married my mom 17 years old. He's still a kid when I was a teenager.
Right.
He's still the 30, you know. He's so you just don't think you think you know
when you're a kid, your parents are old. When they're 25, you just don't put that together. But watching the video, watching the things, and my mom would always make really funny comments. Wow, that's really nice. And then the pictures of us is us sitting in there. I'm not kidding. You go straight from that to us running through a hose with water spraying.
So,
well, at least the sprinkler hose.
But I'm just like,
this is me on the beach.
You're on the,
this is me in Hawaii.
With a, man, we got a towel at Mosquito Lake. I did.
Yeah.
But again, you did. We didn't. That wasn't. It just wasn't.
Well, when my father was in town for 4 months, I mean, he'd be there was, you know, being Greek, there was a place called the coffee house where all the Greeks would go drink coffee and, you know, do hang around. My dad would be there at like 6-7 hours a day, even when he was home. Like, he was never home, even when he was home. He just wasn't
it's
that
the
guy.
Same thing. And then he would get off after midnight and go somewhere after that, like the local watering hole. And then he was betting on the phone when he was home, getting the lines for the games. And I'm going through getting the scores for him. You know, that was, that's what we did.
That was probably pretty common in our day that the moms really raised us, right? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we just.
And we raised ourselves.
But I mean, when he did come, it was a big deal. We would go to Idora Park or juggle, you know, the company picnic, and you would think we were dragging him through hot coals to go one day without a, look at that, that sucks, that's horrible. What do you got to stay this long? I mean, we would get home with the sun still out. Now, why can't we ever ride rides at night? Who the hell wants to sit there all day? We do.
Right.
Which didn't matter
right.
What we wanted.
I get it.
So then when I start taking everybody, I'm going to change all this. We're going to stay until the park throws us out.
And they want to leave.
My dad's ready to go. What the hell are we still doing? You know, and he makes it so miserable. Then now let's just go.
That's my son, actually. My
you
son's that person.
Got your point across. But I would try to make these big, try so hard that I would make it not fun.
But did you notice though, when you were a kid, even though your dad drove you crazy, you wanted to be with your father, right?
Oh, I'm ready.
My son is 15. He doesn't want to be with me an hour in any day. And like not ever, ever. Just
now, when did that start?
Oh, since he was a little kid.
No, sir.
Honest to goodness. Since
Tommy
he
was like stuck to me like glue.
Oh, no.
We would actually sit and watch the games. He was 10 years old. I remember Eric Ryan from Covelli Center. We went to an Indians game. And he's talking to my 10-year-old in the back seat and looked at me and went, I can't get a conversation out of my son who's 12. He goes, he's like, I'm having a conversation with your 10-year-old back there. A great conversation going back. Because Tommy would get everything together, and then here's how we'd watch the game. Right, Daddy?
Yep.
I was right about everything.
Everything.
Oh, my God. Right now, I'm never right about anything.
Yeah, I think when my son was born, I was wrong, and I'm still wrong.
I was good there for a while, but yeah. Then it just hit the fan, and it's just so weird because Vince's personality when he was young was crazy. Oh, no. Where's he at? Because he could be doing something really crazy, punching a kid in the face. He's got the hockey move going. I look over. It's a team picture, and he's got a kid boom, boom, punching him in the face. Whoa! And Tommy was the kid that I could sit down. I am not kidding. He would sit in a chair at a concert, thousands of gun show, and sit and eat a hot dog. I come back 3 hours later. He's still sitting there.
Still doing
he's fine. Vince, I'd sit him down for 5 seconds, turn my head. He's in a boat trying to drive it off the thing. I mean, he was actually in the WWE ring. The guy goes, hey, Vince, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to come up there and fight. He gets in the ring and tries to throw the guy. He's like 300 pounds. Vince has got his leg trying to do his move from watching the. Oh, my God. I'd put something on Facebook, and he would like every now and then go, Vince, because he just remembered him.
He's like, right.
But something switched, and now it's completely opposite. Vince, I'll say something. No response. He's just smart enough to know I'm not going to win this. So why am I going to keep going with it? I'm just going to end it right here. No back talk, no mumbling. Tommy never stops mumbling. I thought I said to be, what did I just say? And I hear myself
My dad would say that once. I said to shut up. You did not. Number two was you getting hit. There was no second. What did I just tell you? I've never even heard him say that. You got one. Me. One more time and I'm.
It's time number 12.
So finally, I run up the stairs. This isn't that long ago. Super Bowl, whatever. And he acts like I'm killing him. Who does that? Who chases their kid around the house like that? I didn't even catch you. He's dodging, trying to get. And somehow that was just, I go, you would have never lived in my, you would have never made it.
See
the way, yeah, I mean, but.
Like my father was rough verbally, like he was verbally rough, but he wasn't physical.
No, we didn't get a lot of physical. Yeah, I tried to change a grade from a D to a B, and I got whipped for that one.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
But we didn't get that. We just got.
But we listened to our father because, and it's weird in a way, because he was never home. He was always working. So, but there was this level of respect.
Oh,
we all had it for him. Because, yep. You know, my father came from Greece. He was 14 years old, right? And he comes to this country and he built a beautiful life and had four good kids, you know. So I just so much respect for how mm-hmm. hard he worked and how he made it that if he would just tell me, hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. And if he said, don't do it, I just didn't do it.
You just didn't do it. I just didn't there do wasn't it. No.
There was no arguing.
There was absolutely no, I think I'm going to try to get away with that.
No, but out of respect. It wasn't out of fear. It wasn't. It was a respect.
It was a healthy dose of a little fear and a little like I don't want to do that and disappoint them.
Yeah, like my dad was pretty free. I mean, he would let us have lives. I was a boy. I pretty much do whatever I wanted. But he only had two rules. Hey man, listen to me. I don't want you ever in a pool hall. He had this thing about pool halls. I don't know what.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed any bars where he was. And, like, yeah, we're not having a drink together.
Right. And then, you know, he would tell me like, you know, I don't want you drinking and when you get driving. Okay. That was my father's only two things he ever talked about. And I just listened. It was never a question. You don't want me to pool hall? I'm not going to go to the pool hall. You don't want me to drink? I'm not going to do it. I just didn't do it. You know?
Yeah. It was,
it still didn't make it easy. He was still rough.
But you know what? I got, you know, some advice and I thought it was such a joke back then. You know, when your kids are little, you think you've mastered this thing. Look at my kids are saying, thank you. Respectful. What do you say? I'm going to change the world. And I remember my dad saying, don't make the mistakes of saying sorry. And every time you might be wrong, you're not going to be a perfect dad, but don't you dare. Okay. You never, you and Jesus still a little, but not sure who's that. Cause he would, or earth is oblong. Yep. And we just, and then here I prove it. Yeah. You're not getting a boy. I blew that one. So as later on, we always had all these like debates and stuff now because I would give in and say, well, so now, you know, then it got to be when the teenagers that we're going to sit around and debate everything. Here's what I want to do on vacation. We don't want to go there. I can't even imagine going on vacation and bitching about which restaurant we were going to go to.
Oh,
have a fight in the back seat over that. How about we're going to make our own sandwiches. And if you hear one word out of you, you're not going to eat for 3 days. You didn't have this. We want to go to Bonefish. Well, you do you? Well, we want to go here. Well, how about, why don't we just take a vote? What do you want to do? And you? Yeah, how about, what? You guys have no money. There's the other equation. So that equals
no
tough shit. But I didn't do that.
See, my dad was not like that. Like, my dad would take us to nice restaurants and always, he'd always say, I'm not making, like, once a week, we would go out to eat to a nice restaurant. And often, like, during holidays and spend, he'd be like, hey, you both could bring one friend. So he'd let us all bring
one
friend. So every New Year's Eve, I don't know if you remember the Brown Derby, right?
I'm
not kidding you. This is probably 1981, 82. I'm 12, 13 years old. My dad would take us to the Brown Derby, and we were allowed to bring two friends because it was New Year's
Eve. Which Brown Derby is this?
The one on South Avenue.
Okay.
And I remember then that the bill would be $300-$400. And we're talking about like 1981, right? And my dad would be happy. He never griped about spending money on us on food. He never griped about spending money on us on clothes. Like that stuff, he never griped about. It was always, oh yeah, I'll take you wherever you want to go. Where you guys want to go eat. Brown Derby. And we, me, and my brother, my brother and I, were, I was 11. He was nine. We would eat 22 ounce porterhouses and then go to the salad bar and fill our, the waitresses used to be like, oh my goodness. Like my dad would let us order the most expensive meals, steak and lobsters. We'd be eating steak and lobsters at 12 years old. I'm not kidding.
Boy, that didn't happen.
No. Yeah. I grew up on that time. You know, a lot of steak and lobster.
I think we had steak soup once.
Yeah. No.
I'm still not a big everybody. In fact, no kid would ever want to put themselves through going somewhere with my dad. I mean, unless you were a star athlete, he'd just ignore you. I mean, just sit and not say a word.
My dad's was.
And just look in the, everybody's, so you just sit there. And then what do you bring that kid over here for? That kid's a loser, never.
He can't hit a home run.
15. What's he done? He ain't gonna get you nowhere. You know, I had to like pick the friends that were gonna, you know, I like chess. That was stupid. You know, I was dumb. You ain't wasting your time. I don't know any professional chess players. I go, there is. I'm not even gonna have this argument.
They're only
there is, bro. I'm not even gonna say it.
Right.
Tennis is, you know, that's goofy. I just have to.
Yeah, didn't you say you had to sneak to play?
I had to go in my bike and put the bracket on my leg and pedal out of the driveway in case he was watching, like so he didn't see it.
Yeah.
And I had, like, I was in Kent State playing. Everybody had these bags and real nice stuff. I had a racket with no cover. I had taped my own electrical tape around it because what am I gonna do? I'm not getting no $200 specialty racket, for God's sake.
Hand strong, right
there. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you this now. You want me to get that in?
How much tension
you want on that? I got the rack one from Hills.
You want it like McEnroe or Connors?
I had the Mac. I had the Hills X brand what I had.
I get it. Well, I would tell you where my father was rough. Like, none of us were good athletes. Well, my sisters were good athletes. Me and my brother and I, not so much. So my father really didn't care about athletics. He wanted us to be tough. It was more about
tough.
He wanted us to be tough. Like, you know, don't get picked on. Don't get bullied. Like, you know, don't, you know, my father would, he'd always tell us, hey man, somebody says something to you, punch him in the mouth.
Yeah.
Like that was his fatherly advice.
And that's maybe 2 weeks ago, I'm still getting that advice.
From your dad.
Yeah, listen, you just smack the guy. I mean, everything was smack the guy. Yeah. It was just,
that's my dad too.
And that's just because he came through a time where that's what they did.
Yeah. And they meant it.
And we just happened to have two in the town of Leavittsburg, which is very small. We had my mom's family, where my grandpa was the superintendent of Copperweld, hands this big knock your head off during the meeting. And then my dad's dad was, everyone in town was scared to death of both of these people. Now they had the union together. My mom got pregnant and my dad was like, what am I going to do?
These people are crazy.
I'm going to have to actually bring my dad into her, which one day my mom's dad happened to be over. My dad, probably, I thought at the time, the toughest hombre in the world. He looks over, moving stuff. And what do you think you're doing? My dad goes, I'm going out. What the hell do you think I'm doing? Next thing you know, he is pinned up against the wall. There was no more lipping off there.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how the together. So they got together. They explained that my mom was pregnant, and they gave it like the, okay, this isn't going to be any kind of fun reunion here where we're going to be best buds. Let's just get this over with. And my dad was so thankful that kind of ended like that. But here's what it brought. Christmas Eve, we go over to my mom's family. My dad sits in the car and bitches all the way there. He's an idiot, doesn't know anything about football. I just want Santa to come. Why does this always have to be like this?
I just want to get
my bag of stuff. And then we go over to his parents, and my dad comes in, and then that guy's a dad guy. My uncle's going along with him, with that guy. Look at that idiot. And that's, you have to just like get through the night. It wasn't no like, hey, it's all my cousins, that just get through this and we'll be fine. Then we go home. My dad's open to give. Who the hell buys somebody that? Like, you can buy me. Oh, how the hell's that supposed to fit me? Like, you even wrap something like
You're talking about the holidays. So, with my parents, my mother was from West Virginia and grew up very poor. As you know, my father came from Greece. So, but the families, were so different. Like on my mother's side, you'd go there and they all had West Virginia accents and they'd be like, how you doing, honey? Honey, you know, nice and always proper, right? And, you know, like they were, I mean, they were not, you know, people of money, but they were very like calm and relaxed. And like nobody would talk. You kind of had to get in the conversation with people because nobody would talk. Then you go to the Greek side, like, hey, you don't know what you're talking about, man. The brothers arguing nonstop. It was the loudest thing you ever. You have to scream to get attention. And like the whole thing, everything at a Greek Thanksgiving or Greek Christmas was arguing about politics. They argued constantly. And it was, so my dad's side was, they were more fun. But they were much more stressful, I'll tell you that.
Well, it would be a cookout would turn into like I'd make some kind of comment. And everybody usually just forgets about it. But no, I'm going, no, that's not. And then he would yell and my mom would get all upset because we'd be fighting and arguing about this stuff. You know, my one son threw a log on the fire. Oh, no. You know, this major deal here. It's a big deal about the law because I told him not to do it. So now we have that, or like the kids would fight. And I'm like, Tommy, I'm telling you right now, leave him. And my dad was going, brothers fight. What do you think you're going to do? Fix everything and get up, make everything okay. So by the time I'm ready to go, my mom's just pleading with me to be quiet. You know, dad, I love you. I love you. You know, everything is like,
yeah.
That's just the way he is. He likes that back and forth. Oh, you don't know what the hell. You know, my wife doesn't even know him. What the hell are you talking about? I would just sit there. Just calm down.
How about when you, because we always knew when my father was having a bad day. Like, me and my brother still think about it. Like, you just knew if he would come home and he'd be mad about something. Maybe he gambled, lost too much money, whatever happened. And then he'd come home and he'd just be pacing the house. And you knew walking back and forth. And you'd hear him mumbling swear words under his breath, right? So, and this would go on for 30 minutes nonstop.
And nobody's going to ask.
Until you did anything that he could jump on. And then it was like, hey, man, what I tell you? Get off the phone. He'd be like, get off the phone. Somebody called you. Dad, get off the phone. And then rip the phone out the wall, right? And you're like, what was the purpose of that?
How about laughing at the supper table? Me and my brothers are giggling. You'd have thought we shot somebody. I can't breathe because if I get caught laughing at the table, it's going to be some kind of repercussions here. I still laugh about that. I'm like, oh, don't make me laugh. What is the big deal?
I told you about my dad that I think is the funniest.
What is the big deal if we laughed at the dinner table?
I love my father to death. But if you want, let me give you an example of what would get my father in a fight. If you're my dad, or if I say I'm my dad and you're anybody, and we could be best friends, and you say one time, hey, man, you know, I think if we fought, I could take you.
You're getting hit.
My dad, he could not.
There's no way that's getting through.
Anybody, even implying that they might be able to beat him up in a fight.
Or you get one of these, like if somebody, you keep it up, I'm going to kick your ass. Why did you?
Yeah, why?
I mean, you're not getting away with that.
No.
So my dad would think that everything somebody said to me, you're going to let that guy say.
And now, Dad, he's embarrassing you.
I'm sitting in the
you're gonna take that
of school here. What do you want me to do? Get up and say, yeah, I ain't letting that guy say shit like that to me. So the pressure would be real.
Oh, you ain't not lying. Yeah.
Because you just didn't, like, I always tell the story. I'm at the bowling alley and I'm just happy to be there with him. I'm eating some chips and my dad's got a cigarette. His friend grabs my dad's shirt to light his cigarette. Right on the floor beside it. Dad, isn't that one of your friends? The hell you think you're grabbing my shirt? That's, and then a little bit later, everything was.
I don't want to sound bad with my dad, but one of the things that he would do when we were kids, we could be at a wedding, and if some kid our age said something to us, my father would be like, come here, man. What? He goes, yeah, go punch him.
Yeah, I mean, you're that's just how it was. That's a lot
where
of,
we were.
But that's a lot of pressure.
Oh, it was, because you know you might lose, right? You're like, oh boy,
here. And then I get to be going out stage. Now I got the toughest dudes around me, and we're getting in these. I'm coming home. My friend Jimmy's taping his face together because he hit the ball. And my mom comes out and goes, oh, this is it. I'm not having this. This is not going to be our life here. I'm like, gets hit in the face with a ball. And then we're going to go tape him up like Goodfellas. Come on, Chad, you want back?
Could you ever imagine telling your kid today in 2021, oh, just punch him in the face, son?
You know, in school, like just
no,
go, no, you'd be you like, can't. Oh, you're going to get suspended. You can't do that.
You yeah. can't.
After the last game, there was a little skirmish at the end of the game. And the fans actually come, like I'm this attraction of sitting there saying my jokes in the stand.
Yeah. Because you're yelling at the
right. And they're going, wow, Tom, come on, you're going to do it. So there's a fight after the JV game. My son's the coach. And it spills a little bit, and Vince is out warming up, and he's in the middle of it. So I'm watching this real closely. And so everybody goes, oh, Tom, I go, listen. If I'd have saw one coach, one fan, I'm up out of this seat and you'll never forget what'll happen. And so after the game, the kids, because there's a little tension, the cops are, because it was a tough game. There's a lot of, Mr. Sharp, could you walk through the line with us and shake hands with us? I go, I think that's a great idea, but I don't think my friend the policeman thinks it's a good idea. Because they were joking around, you want to shake hands? Oh, I'll go through the line and shake hands. Everything will be fine. But I go, that was the fifth game that I haven't been thrown out of. It's like
a is that team, a record now?
I think it is a record for me.
Yeah, five games you haven't been thrown out?
Well, yeah, I think that's a record.
Yeah, okay. You think you go to
there might have been a
listen,
stretch.
I'm gonna try to encourage you. I'll be willing to bet a dinner you can't go the whole season.
I am, but Michael, I yelled come on one time and got thrown out. It's me. Oh, there you go. I'm going like that during the game. It builds itself into yeah. somewhat of a friend.
It's obviously not your fault.
No, I'm just trying to.
Very sensitive people.
Some funny banter, you know. Stop your rabbit ears. Right up and just ref the game. So my friend that was the security guard at Eastwood Mall way, way back is the cop at the door. He goes, "I'm gonna walk away for a little bit. Do whatever you want." And bro,
and then he comes back and like,
"Yo, stink. You're 0-5." I mean, now I'm just, and everyone can hear me. What I don't know what it is, but everything gets quiet, and my son is giving me these. My son Tommy, who's a coach now. Now all of a sudden he's primer, but sends me messages. Stop it! I'm going. I'm not reading that. Do whatever I want to. But yeah, I thought that was pretty good that I got through that, and that was a tough one. A fight during the game. But
yeah, you kind of had to.
If Vince doesn't score 30 some points, maybe things are different. Maybe if he's 0-8 from the field, maybe I don't get through that game.
Well, see, that would be the difference between our parents and our generation and you. You're actually there to root for your son. My dad was there to tell me how bad I was. And man, you stink, man. He would yell at me while during baseball games. You stink.
But it and I'd is, be like, oh. But it is all about how you're – because I had so much pressure on me that I didn't care about my teammates.
Yeah.
You know, it was – I don't come to watch his game. I'm not coaching. I want him to come to watch you. So in my mind, I had to do it, carry everybody, or it was a failure. Whether we won or not was immaterial. So I'm blaming it on my circumstances because that's what it was. It was, I was the center of attention. I'm the guy pitching. I'm the guy hitting. You know,
I had a friend.
I'm so glad that that's not how the kids are.
I had a friend, a girl, and she was a really good runner. And she would tell me in high school, if she had a bad race, her father wouldn't talk to her for 3 days.
Oh, I'm
like, you wouldn't.
Everyone goes to
the
Dairy Queen. I'm going home. I didn't do something good. Or I hit
you
two home runs.
You're going.
Oh,
home.
No. I hit a home run. I come to the garden. You had the ground ball up the middle. You just let that go. I just hit home runs and pitched. Like, he remembered the grounder I didn't quite get to.
Yeah.
That's just how it was.
No, it's how it was.
And
it
I really remember. Is. I got my hand in the glove. It was a huge game, and I hit, and I go, oh, no. I picked up the ball, and I'm coming off the field. And this is back when coaches, what are you doing? I go, I broke my foot. Get the hell back out there. My dad's going, get out there. Tape it back on. You didn't. Nobody came running out. You okay? Get up. You know, you didn't get any of that. Yeah, you hurt good. You ought to be hurt.
Well, that was my mom. We'd come home. All hurt, right? Like you could have a broken leg, and my mother would be like, "You'll live," you know.
Yeah,
like,
rub some dirt on that.
It was no like, "Oh, poor baby, come here." There's none of that. You'll live.
I mean, I'm really seriously not kidding. I had got hit in the nose, a ball in the outfield. I never saw it. It actually never touched my glove and hit me in the nose. I mean, I got blood flying. Nobody cared. Now today, we would have called 911, had a team from Switzerland out there to make sure. That's not broke.
Do you remember though, we were growing up like today, right? You could drive around town and there's help wanted. We grew up in the 80s. Like they're just, America wasn't doing that great. You know, like when we were kids, you know, the mills shut down around here, things were going on. Like there wasn't a lot of jobs.
I remember it was a big deal. My friend got a job at a convenience store, bag and gray. It was like a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like everybody, oh my God, you got that job. How could we get? Now they're like begging for somebody to do
that. And we're talking about in the 80s, like 1987, which I understand for some people is 34 years ago, right? Well, for everybody. But like the minimum wage is $3.35 an hour.
That's how much.
You know what I mean? That's how much. And you would have to struggle to get those jobs, right?
It was like a today, big deal.
Everywhere you go, job people, you know, help wanted. But I was going down the street the other day. I saw like a bonus, a $2,500 bonus.
Can you imagine
for that? Pasta guy around here, the pasta, can't remember, but like $2,500 signing bonus just to come work in his warehouse, and he probably pays you well because he's a very good guy. You know,
it was a friend that I played tennis with. And he got a job at a bowling alley, like cleaning the, and that was like, oh, wow. It was like a major deal that he got that job while he was a senior.
We just didn't have a lot. I mean, we graduated high school. We didn't have a lot of options.
I had a paper route.
Yeah.
It was just, and half the people didn't get their paper because. And then I'd spend the money before the guy came. You know, where's your money?
Tell me now, you graduated 85, right? Or 84. What year did you graduate high school?
83.
Okay. I graduated in 86. So when we came out, where could you have gone right out of high school and got a job that would have paid you even anything near a livable wage? Where could you have gone when we graduated?
When I got out, I even had relatives that were high up in GM and I still couldn't even get a summer job there.
There was nowhere for us to go. I mean, honestly, there just wasn't.
I mean, he was as head of the Fisher Body Plant and I still... ride me around in a cart. I mean, and it was still like a major deal to get like even the summer job, not an actual job. There just wasn't any of that.
Just imagine if we grew up today, right? And you drive down the street and anywhere you want to go, there's a job for you, you know? And I'm not saying they're all the greatest jobs.
But think about that. You think about somebody in the 50s, 60s, with all this that's going on, they would have worked 20 hours a day. They would have went over here for that part-time job, went over here for that part-time job. But we have made this a little easy, and you are kind of a fool if you're doing that. And I told you, I was on a show. I did the math. You can't, $15 an hour ain't going to get it done.
No, it's not going to get it done. Absolutely, it's not.
And you're between the health insurance. But with health insurance,
I've gotten it done when we were kids.
Yeah, well,
you know.
I mean, but, you know, that was... But and you're right. You said this earlier, and I didn't say anything. Son can't pay insurance or sell, but he's got food bags from all over Ohio that eating out here, eating out there, eating out, and that just does not compute to you have a $70 this a month, and it just doesn't.
I have the perfect story for that. About 6 months ago, the first time I ever went to I don't know if I mentioned restaurant names. I'll just say a very nice restaurant in the area that used to be a culinary art school. Okay.
I know exactly what it is.
My wife go in there and I'm looking around and
my daughter actually worked there.
60% of the kids in there are under 21 years old. And I'm like, this is a fancy restaurant.
Yeah. It was a big deal.
We were in high school. Did you ever get to a fancy restaurant by yourself? Could you even imagine that you would have been eating in a fancy restaurant?
I had to know six people to get a chance at dishwashing job at whatever the heck it was.
It was amazing to me. And I'm looking around going, oh my goodness. And I don't care where you go in this valley, no matter how exclusive the restaurant is and how expensive it is, over half the people there will be 18, 19 year olds. Yep. And that fascinates.
Well, you know, they're not even like, so you'll have to sit, like, it's a 20 minute wait.
Yeah.
Why? There's hardly anybody. We don't have enough servers.
Yeah.
It's not that the place is packed. They don't have any servers.
Yeah.
I mean, because I walked in, I go, there's not even anybody here.
I just want to ask, did you ever eat at a five-star restaurant when you were 18 years old by yourself, just go with you and your friends? And
well, yeah, Alberini's, I would take Angela, you know, that would be our big deal for homecoming or whatever.
No,
that,
I'm talking about just, you know, it's Friday.
Absolutely zero.
It's Friday. Let's go to Alberini's.
Yeah, that's a hot dog shop. Right. It's like just a major deal.
And it's funny. Now, listen, you know, things should get better over time, right? We're evolving, you know, technology's kicked up. So the kids don't have to do what we did. But another fact that I brought up to you earlier, I looked this up because I just had my kitchen remodeled. And I was kind of wondering, I wonder how my house stacks up to the average house in America. Just wondering. In 1950, the average size of a home was 1,000 square feet and a kitchen was 200 square feet. The average size home today, average, middle person in the United States, has a 2,600 square foot house and a 400 some square foot kitchen. So the size of houses have 2.5 times doubled since 1950.
I have a $10,000 theater room that nobody sits in because it's a little cold.
Your house is so big, it looks like one of
the... It's like the...
What's it like, David
Koresh? Kennedy. The compound, Waco.
It looks like Waco.
It's you were expecting to see the fire start in the next picture.
Sure. You see it from up top. It looks like you're in Waco, Texas.
Guy rolling off the roof with an automatic weapon.
I've never seen a house that big. I'm like, what? It's like house connected to another house connected to another house.
And before I had my
it's roof. Like a complex. Are you sure it wasn't like a complex of like a commune or something?
It's before I got my roof done.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding, Michael.
Well, tell me the story of that house. How did you get that house?
My wife went to live out a little bit. It was this unbelievable neighbor where you have a 600 grand house over here that you can't see. I can't see anybody there. There's a landlock in the back 6 acres. You can hear the train whistles. It was a century home that was redone. And I got a really 170 grand was like, giving it away. Yeah.
What? The house looks like it's 6,000 square feet.
It is. It's 5,000. But my wife saw it for money. She was thinking ahead, like, we got that 4 garages. We got that mother-in-law suite. We can rent all this stuff out. And I'm not kidding you. It is that alone. But the driveway, if you notice, that's like owning a parking lot when you have to do that.
Yeah.
See, it's now the money pit. It's no longer, everything. So what I was saying is, before I had the roof done, it was $25,000 to do that.
Oh my goodness.
Actually watch a show and how they have the drones now, they have do over shots of roofs. I'd look away because it would remind me I've got to get this damn thing done. And I'm not kidding. I wouldn't look. I'd drive out the driveway and not look at it.
Well, the story of my house is my wife, you know, she wanted to live in Campbell, Ohio because her parents were close and my parents were close. So there's this house and we paid like $120. She's like, oh my gosh, honey, this house is perfect. And I would walk in and at the time, I made like $22,000 a year. She made like 10. I'm like, $125,000, that's a lot of money
that's
for me.
A
I
didn't lot, have it. Man.
And I'm like, oh, and she's like, oh, hon, it's perfect. The house was perfect in 2001.
And now in the last 20 years,
I swear to you, I'm about $300,000 into a house at Camel, and it's still not done.
See, that's
it's still not done.
That is a problem, though, because Camel, you might. Even put like a even put a mansion out there and it's still gonna get rough because it's still Camel.
Yeah.
So that's what I kept, but my thing just evolved into more work for me. Here's some more landscape here, and nobody else is doing anything. Right. So now everyone's like, are you gonna do that? Where's the flowers? Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. This was great when you're riding around the tractor with your son. Look at this. It's not great anymore.
This summer, I tried to force my
son. Can I borrow your lawnmower, by the way?
No, you cannot. You're always asking.
You see what I have in front of me? What?
This summer, my 15-year-old, who I don't make do much, I go, hey, I want you to go outside and cut the grass. He's like, well, I don't want to. I go, I didn't ask if you wanted to. I want you to cut the grass. Tom, I'm not kidding. You would think that I piled 700 pounds on his back and told him to walk up a mountain. The look on his face as he's pushing it, he's like, oh, like it was exhausting to be out there pushing a lawnmower. And I kid you not, he cut the grass and then threw up. That's how much he was not
Did
used to work.
Did you know that I borrowed my dad's one when I couldn't get up, that you walk behind and it goes? Watching Vince and Tommy cut, I'm talking about, from here to there, like his head's way down under the thing, like he's like, pushing up a,
they're sweating,
like oxen with thing on the back, carrying water up a hill. And Tommy takes over. Now he's doing, a part breaks off. I go, get out of here.
And grab it one hand and just.
Yeah, I'm pushing it down the thing. And there's a part laying on the ground. Yeah. You guys pushed it for three turns and it's shot.
I wish it was a joke, but it's not.
It's not a joke, but to watch the animation, like your head down, the handle's way up here.
The agony, the agony. Of everything.
You do it then. And then Tommy goes 5 inches. You know I can't do this. What? Apparently, it takes the power of a guy 6'3", 220 to push a lawnmower that's already got a propel to it.
I hope that other people listening to this
learn from this, people.
Or go, yeah, I remember that, right?
Don't be the ones that listen to this and don't act.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could have done that all day long. We didn't even get to the two-party system. That's such a joke. They both suck. I'm going to end it that. Both parties.
I'm going to agree with you.
Suck on that. But it was a pleasure.
Pleasure for me.
Mr. Malus, as always, I appreciate you being here, and it's always good. Now, next week, things get a little different. These notes are going to get more because there'll be a whole week of idiocrity between now and then. We'll talk about these bowl games, too.
You know, I haven't been watching.
I know, but it's now the Magic Marker Bowl. I mean, we've gone from like really important bowl games. Half the team doesn't play. They might get hurt. Wow.
You're right. Because it was the bowl game I heard the other day. It was like,
The stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I wish I could remember.
The Sharpie Bowl. I'm not kidding you. I was
making a number in it, like the Sharpie.
And there's eight people in the stands. What idiot is paying for that?
North Dakota State versus
who doesn't want to watch that game unless you're betting the game seriously. There's eight people in the stands. The third string quarterback's friend is quarterbacking because everybody. All right. Well, thanks again for being here. As always, we have a good time. So thanks again, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Have a great new year.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.